All right, great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants and Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw on the hill for the Dodgers and Sam Long on the hill for the San Francisco Giants. Boy, it should be a good afternoon of baseball. A pleasure to bring in Keith Law. He writes for The Athletic, and I'll tell you, I think he is the premier person to talk about national baseball, amateur baseball, minor league baseball. Keith Law, always a pleasure this time of year to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How about you?
Oh, very well. And look, I've been looking forward to this conversation with you because we're getting to your time of the year, and we love having you on a couple of times around this time. So let's jump right into it. The draft is coming up July 17th. It's part of the All-Star Game festivities again this year. And one of the most intriguing people for me in the draft is Kumar Rocker, who was picked 10th in the first round by the Mets last year. They didn't like the medicals. They didn't sign him. He's back now playing independent ball. How's he doing, and what do you see coming for a Rocker?
So I was at his debut for the Tri-City Valley Cats, who play in upstate New York. That was a week ago today, actually. And he threw not quite four innings. He threw about 50 pitches, roughly. And for the first three innings, he looked pretty good. And the scouts around me were saying, some guys with teams drafting in the back half of the first round were saying, there's no way this guy gets to us pitching like that. He was 95 to 98. He showed two breaking balls, both above average. You will hear that Kumar Rocker has a plus slider. To be honest, I don't know that I've ever actually seen that, and I've seen him at least three times over the years. But he can spin the ball a little bit. Has an okay changeup. He is 6'5", 260 or so.
Wow.
There were two little red flags for me. The fourth inning, he definitely started to lose his command, and I don't know if that's just fatigue. It was his first outing on the mound in 12 months or something else. I also thought he lowered his arm slot a little bit. You don't love to see that with a guy who might have some kind of underlying. The Mets exactly saw in the medical that caused them to decline to offer him a contract at all. But when you combine that with the lower arm slot, it just makes me have more questions than I did before.
Hmm. So what do you think will happen? Do you think he goes in the first round?
I have two hypotheses. One is some team that's contending this year and one reliever says we'll take him in the first round. For example, the Philly scouting director was at that outing, and the Phillies could certainly use relief help, and they might say, and Dave Dombrowski, by the way, is their team president, and he very much, his history in the draft is very much get guys who can help me now or get guys who can get into the system quickly and I can trade for players who will help me now. I could very much see them doing that and saying, we're going to have you, we'll take you July 17th, you sign right away, you go to double A, and 3 weeks later you're in the majors.
Wow.
I could see a couple of teams doing that. Otherwise, I think he's some team's second pick. Someone gets the first pick in the bank, confident what they have, and then says, hey, this guy was a top 10 talent in the draft a year ago. We will take that medical risk. We're doing it with our second pick, maybe a second round pick or a sandwich pick. And this way, you feel like you can take on more risk because you already have one player selected.
Hmm. Well, Keith Law is with us. Always a pleasure to get his expertise in this area. Well, the draft is coming up, and there are a lot of sons of former major leaguers at the top of the draft. How about that? I haven't seen that before.
It's the most I can ever remember, and this is my 21st draft working somewhere in the industry. There's a good chance that three of the top four players selected will be sons of former major leaguers. Andrew Jones' son, who's probably the best player in the draft class. Matt Holliday's son, Jackson Holliday, who has gone from being maybe a back of the first round guy to someone who's pretty clearly going in the top five picks, thanks to just a really strong spring. He had a really good showing when his team from Oklahoma came to play in Arizona during their spring break, during spring training, when a lot of major league executives were in Arizona and could run over and watch him play. And then Cam Collier, the son of Lou Collier, who played a couple of years for the Pirates. I think he got a cup of coffee maybe with the Expos at some point. And Cam Collier is really interesting because he left his high school. He graduated early after his sophomore year so he could go play at a junior college this year at age 17. So he's one of the youngest players in the draft class, but was playing much, much older competition for Chipola College in Florida, which is probably the best junior college program in the country. So I think teams that really value age, that value younger players in the draft, are going to be all over him in the top couple of picks.
Mm. This looks like a draft, though, where more position players, the ones you just described, and you'll see a pitcher in the middle of it. Of course, I think of Casey Mize, the first pick of a few years ago, is now having Tommy John surgery. And that's the problem with the pitchers. You eventually end up in that situation. But, boy, it sounds like position players maybe take up the first 7, 8, 9 picks.
It's possible we'll have position players right through the 10, which hasn't happened since 1979. And one of the big reasons, as you hinted at there, is that I have 8 pitchers on my big board, my top 100 for the draft, who I think had a chance to go in the first round. Everything had, everything gone right, they could have gone in the first round, who've all had Tommy John surgery. One is coming back from Tommy John surgery last spring. The rest have just had it in the last 6 to 7 months, and so none of them is going to be able to get on a mound and show anything to scouts. And that is causing teams to just seek safety in position players. And the top few picks will probably be high school guys. I think the top 10 will be concentrated on high school position players. And then you're going to see a run on those college bats because they are seen as safer picks historically. And if you're picking in the teens and you still don't see a college pitcher who you think is worth the value of your pick, you're going to look in another direction. And the next group to look at there is going to be the college bats.
Well, we talked about the high school bats, the kids, the sons of the high school players. What about the college bats? Where are they coming from?
I think it's just an okay college position player crop. It's not as good as the high school position player crop. The best one in the country is Brooks Lee, who was a top prospect out of high school 3 years ago, but really wanted to go play for his father, who's the head coach at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Lee is one of the best pure hitters in the class. He's very hard to strike out. He's strong enough that he should be able to get to above average power. The question on him is he's a shortstop now in college, but he's not going to stay there. He's not quick enough. His ankles, his lower half, he's not built like a shortstop. We expect more agility in our shortstops, and he's not much of a runner. I think he moves to third base or second base, and ultimately he's fine. I think he's the class of the college position player crop. You will also hear from some people the name Jacob Berry, transferred from University of Arizona to LSU this year. He might be the best pure hitter in the draft class, especially if you're combining everything, thinking about ability to hit, ability to get on base, and ability to hit for power. But Jacob Berry's problem is he really has no position. He is most likely to end up at DH when he gets to the majors, so he really better hit. And historically, those no-position college guys like Seth Beer, they don't go to the top of the first round. They go towards the back.
Yeah, Seth Beer had his moment, though, I'll tell you that, on opening day, didn't he?
Yes,
When he
did.
Run.
He did.
to win the game against San Diego and Suarez. Mm-hmm. Seth Beer, great name. I love it. Keith Law is with us, talking some of the draft stuff and things like that. The Giants picked 30th now. Will there be a Vanderbilt guy left at 30th for them, or a Louisville guy, or an NC State guy? You know they're going to go in one of those directions. Where are they going?
They do like those big college guys. Not that I can blame them. I think that's generally not a bad strategy to go after, especially if you're looking at college position players. Target the guys who've played in the best conferences, because it means they face the best possible competition during their college years. Of the schools you mentioned, though, I think the best player at any of those three schools is Dalton Rushing, the catcher at Louisville. I have a feeling the Giants aren't going to take another college catcher in the first round. You never say for sure. I guess if they look at him, maybe they look at him and say, we just like the bat. He definitely has power. And they just decide they're going to move him to another position. They are at a point in the draft, though, where they could get creative with a pitcher. There will be a couple of college pitchers who are possibilities down there. Adam Mazur from the University of Iowa, who transferred from South Dakota State, where he was pretty unremarkable for 2 years, gets to Iowa and is throwing a little harder with a lot more strikes. That's the kind of guy who could go there. Or there are a couple of really good command and control pitchers in the college class. So the big fireballers, they're pretty much all hurt, or they're future relievers. I'm talking just about the college guys. But there are a couple of these real strike throwers. Thomas Harrington at Campbell University had a tremendous year, 4 pitches. It's nothing really plus, but it's all pretty good. And he may be one of those guys whose ceiling is a little bit higher than the pure stuff would imply, or the radar gun would imply, because he really knows where the ball's going. And he has multiple pitches that he can mix up to keep hitters off balance.
Let me ask you about a couple of guys. One in the farm system. I know you rank the players during the year as well. And this Kyle Harrison, Keith, he has jumped from Eugene. He's up to Richmond, and I expect him to be jumping another classification pretty soon. Tell me about your assessment of Kyle Harrison right now.
So I'm going to see him either this week. They're playing, I think, at Harrisburg this upcoming week, or 2 weeks afterwards, I think they play at Bowie, Maryland. So I've just been waiting. Once he got promoted, I figured, all right, there's some point at which he's going to play close enough to me that it is worth the trip to go see him. And what I have heard on him this year is that it is kind of the expected step forward. He was so good last year. Obviously, he was among the minor league leaders in strikeouts. But this was still a very young pitcher with great stuff, and he was succeeding more with stuff than with command, feel for pitching, understanding how to set hitters up. The progress was good, but that was going to be the next developmental step for him, and that he seems to have done so and actually made significant progress in that direction. I would really love to see it for myself. It is just very much a function of weather and just coordinating schedules around here, but he is my number one priority guy for the next 3 weeks.
Oh, very good. Sounds like another Bumgarner. That's what the Giants are hoping for. High school kid.
You'd like
jumping.
One of us, right?
Yeah, why not? I'll take two of them. And how about the other one as we wrap it up with you? I could talk to you all day about this stuff. Is Bednar, the first pick from last year from Mississippi State. He's doing quite well, and I love the arm, and I think I've always said I think he could walk into a bullpen like his brother and become a closer.
I agree with you. I think if they had decided upon drafting him that for whatever reason, if they thought it was his future or if it was what the club needed, that they could just move him quickly as a reliever. That slider is definitely, I think it's an out pitch in the big leagues right now. I don't think you're waiting for that pitch to get better. He's had a really interesting season. He's had a couple of outings where he's been very wild. He's hit a ton of batters this year. I just looked it up, 10 batters in 40 innings. It's just been a couple of outings where he's gone out and just not had it, right? Just this is not Will Bednar's day. And I don't know what to make of that because he's had plenty of other games. They've been very careful managing his innings, too, given how much he pitched last year for a team that won the College World Series. I want to see more. I want to see that command be more consistent deeper into games and kind of more consistent game to game as well. It doesn't mean it has to be there right now. This is a pitching prospect who is still developing. But at this point, I kind of lean a little bit more towards reliever on him until we see more consistent strike throwing and just command, really knowing where it's going, ability to put, especially the fastball, where he wants it so he can set up that slider. Ultimately, he has to be able to get ahead in the count so that slider is effective for him going multiple times through an opponent's order as a starter.
Boy, great to have you on. Great to talk with you. We look forward to have you on one more time before the draft and catch up. But the slider is the pitch that they teach right now. There are no more fastballs. They want sliders. So I agree with you on that. Yep. Keith, thanks so much as always. Really, it's great to have you on. I appreciate it. Keith Law of The Athletic. Have a good day.
My pleasure. You too.
All right. Very good. Now it's time for the week's Community Spotlight, sponsored by Chilton Auto Body, with 15 locations to serve you. This month's spotlight is on the food bank of Contra Costa and Solano.